Well, I want to encourage you. Let's get our message going here this morning. As Zach was sharing, it is Mission Sunday, and missions is all about what Jesus really initiated. Want to highlight the beginning of our Christmas series right now. So as you take a look here, this series we're beginning today, it's called Practice Christmas Like Jesus. Practice Christmas Like Jesus. Not just celebrating Jesus' coming, but we want to take a look at some approaches in the next few weeks of why he came, but let's practice doing it. Let's not just celebrate his coming. Let's really follow his example of why he came. Yes, he's the one that said, hey, come follow me. Did he not? Amen. So, I mean, it's like everything Jesus would do would be so significant. So let me explain this series a little bit before we do. Lord, I can't explain anything without your participation and overriding my words and bring life, especially those who are watching from a distance. Lord, bring your life. You're the one that is the light of the world, and that light shines in dark places. So Lord, illuminate our hearts and let us say, I see what God's word is saying to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just say, because we're taking a look at practice Christmas like Jesus, it really could say traditions. Everybody in families has a unique Christmas tradition. I'm sure if you were to share maybe those traditions you have, maybe it's where you work through a fruit nut cake. How about it? That seems to come out annually. But then there are others that say, well, we only open up our presents all the way on Christmas Eve, and we don't go to bed till it's done, then you sleep it off. You know how that is. It's just some people say, oh, I remember the tradition of going to midnight mass. And it's just there's certain traditions that are all about families. And then you go around the world and there's other traditions. I mean, people will spend time making tamales. That's their tradition. Everybody's got a tradition or the way that they honor or recognize Christmas. But what if, with this series, we do something different? We not only celebrate Christmas, we take a look at what Jesus did in his coming and say, let's apply it and start something of a new tradition, something we may not be currently doing, and say, I'm going to apply that because Jesus is the one that led the way and showed what it's all about in his original coming this Christmas. So we want to start with our first part, and today's message is entitled Practice Going This Christmas. Look at the word going. Jesus was the one that really launched from heaven. He came to earth. He was the one that said, I will go for them. And that's important when we take a look at this because it's unique in dealing with this. We want to embrace, why did Jesus leave heaven to come to earth? And if we're going to practice Christmas like Jesus, how does that apply to us? So let's take a look at our first point. On your notes, you can see, and we'll put it up on the screen as well. The first point is Jesus going in five ways. And I've got John chapter 1, verse 10 through 14. You can see it there. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You follow along as well. We'll put it up on the screen. But there are five ways Jesus is coming to us. He's going from where he is in heaven to come to us. And check it out with me. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. Can you see that for a moment? Because I want to address, maybe you're thinking to yourself, I remember the day, it's like, something's got to change in my life. Something's not right. I'm missing something. I could even have everything that every heart would imagine. Who wouldn't, being in America, number one, huh? Hello? But then there's something of a transformation called that born-again experience. Jesus used that word And it says, they are reborn who believe and accept him, Scripture says. Let's go a little further. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. We're talking a miracle. I believe in miracles. I am a miracle. But a birth that comes from God. So the Word, capital W, became human and made his home among us. Let's take a look here, because the five ways that Jesus, in his going, came to earth, it's important for us as we recount the Christmas story. Let's check it out, because his mission, his purpose, his going is listed here. Letter A on your notes, the creator of the universe came to the world he created. Look at verse 10 now with me. We'll peel it from that verse. He came into the very world he created. That's an amazing thing. Jesus came to this environment. And take a look. Our environment is so far different than heaven. His was a perfect environment. Just check that out for a moment, because it's an eternal, all-powerful, immeasurably incredible environment you and I have never experienced. We will, for those who believe in Jesus, but we're talking, he created the world and he entered into it. God spoke this world into existence, this very universe. He left this unhindered environment to come to this little planet. Now check it out with me, just for an example, the Milky Way galaxy. You've seen that Milky Way galaxy, how big it is, how vast, science says, when they peer into outer space. The Milky Way is 200,000 light years in diameter. That's the time it will take for light to travel to cover the Milky Way. 200,000 years. Anybody got that time travel going? And they say that it's 400 billion stars and planets that encompass the Milky Way, that cluster of planets and stars. With electronic telescopes, they go beyond the Milky Way, and it's amazing. They are now saying there are maybe hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of galaxies like our Milky Way. There's a vast amount of space. God came to this little planet called Earth. It's an amazing thing. The creator of the universe came to the world he created. Just think about that. This amazing element about Jesus, immeasurable sovereign power, comes and he comes into the form of a little baby. It's incredible to think. When we talk his going, you've got to consider what Scripture lays out. An unfamiliar, sinful, broken planet. Why would he leave that to come to this? Now, you and I, this is all we've known. We may not even know how broken and bandaged up this world is, but he does. That's why he knew he needed to come. Let's look at letter B. The creator of the universe came to the people he created. Scripture says in verse 11, he came to his own people. Now, you might say, well, that means just the Jewish population. It does mean that. I mean, Jesus was a Jew. Scripture says it's going to come through this line, through the line of David. But he came to everyone. He came for you. That's the Scriptures. He did not just come to the Jews. He came for the Gentiles as well. He came to the people he created. That's important for us. So he didn't just stay from a distance. Oh, I love that about Jesus. Oh, he didn't just bark out orders from, hey, yo, down there. He came to be with people. He's into relationship. He wants to relate to us. That is our God. And he didn't just start off as a 30-something-year-old. He started off as an embryo and developed in the womb. Check it out. So anybody that's out there saying, you know, I don't think there's a God that's real. He's out there somewhere, maybe. this blows that theory right off the map. God came to be with people, and he became a person. Letter C, the creator of the universe came to rescue his creation. We're looking at his going, and when we're celebrating Christmas like his, what did he do in his going? He came. Look at verse 12 and 13. It says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. He came to rescue the people he created. Now, that's an incredible story, and it's so true. The reason people need to be reborn is because humanity is just sinful, spiritually dead. Let's put it that way. When you and I want to talk over Jesus and share some exciting things in the Bible with people that have not been regenerated, they don't get it. Poor things. Don't get upset with them. They get a little hostile and bent. They don't get it. They're spiritually dead. Man, you remember those days. We were all S-I-N positive. We needed Jesus. We needed help. And the manger scene was the first step of Jesus going to come. And then the second was the Roman cross. Man, to be reborn is so significant. Remember the story of Joseph? Remember when Joseph recognized that his potential bride-to-be, he's engaged to this young girl, and lo and behold, she's now pregnant, and he knows, that's not my baby. And he's going to put her away quietly, try to like eliminate the scuttlebutt. And then an angel shows up. Let me just share that with you. That's in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. You can write that down. But the angel says, and she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's why he came. It's a sin issue. I love a good story. I sure like the old manger scene, and there's the shepherds and eventually the wise men, and oh man, but he came for sin, save us from their sins. Please don't ever forget that. It's so important. If you got somebody that's troubling you, they need Jesus, do they not? It's a sin issue. The cure for humanity is a sin problem that needs to be eliminated. Let's go to letter D. The creator of the universe became human. That's also with an intriguing, hard to explain, but we know it's true. Look at verse 14. It says, so the Word, capital W again, became human. He embraced the human process. That's incredible. It's like Jesus, really? What dignity that places upon the human element. Jesus came for people like you and me. He became a person, and it's so significant. And he was born to peasants. He didn't even get the upper middle class West Side. Come on, oh, man. It's like, how could this possibly be? The level of humility the creator of us took on. The level of humility. You've got to consider that, the exquisite elements of heaven, and he comes and gets born to peasants. The way that Philippians chapter 2 describes it, let me just put that on there. You can write it, but Philippians 2, verse 6 through 7, says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, if you are the creator of all of that and you take on that same fashion, can you imagine? Just think for a moment. You probably blocked it out of your mind, but you remember the very first time you were extremely humiliated. Do you remember those times? I mean, I still remember some. I don't like coming up with it. I was constantly, dreadfully afraid to speak publicly because I've always felt humiliated. I still, there's times on Monday, it's like, oh, that was a dreadful message. I should pull out my resignation letter now. There are times it's really, you know, the whole self-esteem and the whole lack of confidence can happen in people. You just, I helped to be a wrestler, loved to win, suffered some pretty severe defeats with the bleachers and my mother saying, don't hurt him. Still, my shoulder's getting bent. I could hear it. Mom, please don't say anything. I don't mind it. It's just, I'm humiliated. And still to this day. Another time we were trying to be the big pastor on the campus of Banning High School. Ainsley was the president of the, basically the parents board, and she worked to get the pastors onto the high school campus, Banning High School, right there in Woodward and Hargrove Street. And it was two lunches, and we would go there, and just all the principal wanted to do is just, pastors, you just kind of walk, shake hands. They let us hand out candy. You know, it's intimidating to be with high schoolers. Have you done that lately? They just don't say anything, and neither do they smile. So that could just cause you to go back into your shell and say, well, I guess I'm not called. But we faced it and went into it, and God did some pretty incredible things through my wife. But she would always say, Paul, the recess is done, the lunch is over, and look at the trash. And I'm telling you, they needed to invest in trash cans because nobody found one. But their trash littered the chain link fence. And she said, let's start picking up the trash. I'm not going to pick up trash. I'm the big guy. And I remember starting it, and I went over to the principal's window, big bay window, and there was a few pieces there, and I wanted to make sure as I'm picking up that he might have seen me. And then Ainsley kind of whistles, Paul, over here, along Westward. No way, man. That's the way. We had a road camp in Banning. Have you ever seen a road camp? Minimum security prison? Yeah, good. None of you have been there. Well, I have actually visited a few of my members. It was a tough neighborhood. But I remember picking up the trash along the chain link fence, and I felt so humiliated. What is wrong with me? But I remember imagining a station wagon full of children with the mother yelling at the kids in the back saying, kids, listen up. If you don't listen to me, you're going to turn out like that guy picking up trash. Oh, it's terrible. I mean, you could just get yourself in a humiliating state. You think about your worst condition. And I'll tell you, Jesus topped it. His humility to come, ours pales in comparison. It's like, Lord, what do I need to do for you? Because you took such a depth to come to me and to come to us. Letter E, the creator of the universe made his home among us. That's intriguing too. Let's look at verse 14. It just says that, and made his home among us. Right here with us. I love the fact, even in Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 23. Matthew 1, 23, we'll throw that up there as well. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. He came to be with us. I like so much the reality that Jesus has come to not only be with his people, with us, but he's not like any other leader I've known. He's one that comes to be with everyone. He doesn't call the shots. I know everybody's working remotely nowadays. Like, yeah, great. But Jesus is with us. Jesus brings an element of his grace into my messy life. It's something that is so helpful for us to remember. So Jesus is all about going. He's all about mission. This is really the element of the Christmas story. How does that relate to us? Because remember, we're taking a look at this series, Practice Going This Christmas, is today's message. What does it mean to go? Let me lay it out with five questions. It's your life. You journey it. But what if we don't just celebrate Christmas, we actually follow Jesus? Because again, he said, come follow me. Let's dig a little deeper. Letter A, check it out with me. Our point two says, practice going like Jesus this Christmas. There we go. And I want to highlight too, let's look at Mark chapter 16. Thank you, crew. Mark 16, 15. And then he told them, his disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. How many people? Everyone. Let's look at Matthew 28, 19, just to throw that line in. It says, and go make disciples of all nations. So it's not only everyone. Let's see if we can go out to a few other unreachables. And it's not just geographic nations. It could be ethnicities and other subcultures within a culture. But Jesus says to go. So Jesus models this to his followers. I get it. That's what Hope Chapel does so well, called missions. This is Mission Sunday. This is a missions message as well. Let's look here about these questions that would be something we would want to practice going like Jesus did. Letter A, are you willing to go and step out of what is familiar? That's the question. Am I willing to go out from among what is familiar? Now, I like familiarity. I somewhat keep a pretty consistent time frame. It helps me in my early morning devotions to get up at a certain time. And there's other things that's helpful, like brushing my teeth. But anyway, when we look here, Jesus stepped out of eternity. He left the perfect setting to come to our messiness. If you just consider that for a moment, in order to make a difference, he was willing to come out of the familiar and to come into, let's just say, unfamiliar. That's important for us to consider that. It's going to require a number of us to say, you know what, I would like my life to make a difference. What do I have to do, Paul? You may have to leave the familiar to go to the unfamiliar. Would you be willing to do that? That's all this question is about. I'm not suggesting that anybody changes their Christmas tradition. Stick with that. But we're talking about maintaining that element of Jesus going consistently. Serve someone else. So important. Or by order of serving someone else might mean something that's so important. Let me just give you a couple areas here at Hope Chapel because the Lord's been so gracious. But I have a desire, vision, to see our kidmen ministry accelerate. I am so grateful for Gracie, that's a combination of Lacey and Garcia. Hi, Lacey. Anyway, I just changed your name. I've been known to do that. Well, Lacey Garcia is finishing her education. She'll have more opportunity to really invest in our children's chapel. But wouldn't it be great? There are times we are not seeing sufficient enough workers to serve in our children's ministry. So a lot of times we're having to do two classrooms. If we could fill every classroom with an age appropriate, wouldn't it be great? We'd love to have all of you sign up. We do want you to know there's a background check for all of you. So just in case. So if we see that you don't sign up, that means there's something in your background. I don't know. I just kidding. But we want to see our children get ministered to. It would be wonderful. And we don't have the parents of those children have to come and do the same teaching and serving and having fun. Wouldn't it be great that our young people get to see the same loving Jesus displayed through a man or a woman that is not their relative? It would be great. I'd love that. Would you consider to move on in there and say, man, I'd be happy to be a part of the rotation. That's a great need. That's coming out of the familiar and going into the unfamiliar. But I'm telling you, God will do a great work. God will do a great work. The other would be our host ministry. What is that? Sounds fun. Well, it's the parking lot crew, and it is fun. It is just out there. We really find some of our greatest ministries, especially after service, that people have the best talking out in the parking lot or out by the curbside. Sometimes parking is so difficult, people lose their Christianity going. We want to stop that. We'd love to make sure we have hosts that welcome people to the green curb and let their family come out and, oh, you could park right around here. There's parking in the backside. Go down the aisle. Wouldn't that be great? We need that. We need that. We really do need hosts in those areas. Just those two areas. Would you consider? I mean, it's going to be a phenomenal year and God's going to provide. But the familiar saying, I'm willing to step out from what I know is familiar and risk once again. You're going to find some great things. Letter B, are you willing to go in the direction of a need? That's important too. Jesus did just that. He left the familiar of heaven and he knew we are a needy bunch. He saw the need. I wonder who else would have gone in heaven if it wasn't for the Son of God who created us. No one else. Can you imagine the amount of people? Could you imagine? I get this all the time. People will say, you know, the reason why I really don't give God more time is because why doesn't he take care of the suffering in the world? He's got to do something about that. And I often will tell them, what will it be like for you when you get to heaven and he asks you the same question? Why didn't you do something about it? There is an element where we get a chance to go in the direction of a need. It's so important for us to consider, Lord, what must I do? Hope Chapel is Hope Chapel is a crazy generous church. If you take a look, we have given over $108,000 to missions. We're going to have a little bit of a report on that. And we want to thank God for what he's doing through you. It's so important. But would you consider what God can do through you again? So significant. I just got to highlight, I have people all the time, Pastor Paul, what do I have to do to give? What is that like? If you're not tithing, tithing literally means 10%. That's a given for a Christian. If you're not even born again, man, it's like whatever you want to do. But we're followers of Jesus. That tithing's so significant. But I usually tell people, because once you step into the realm of giving that portion to God, watch how God will explode your life in wonderful ways of an abundance. I have told God that, and he has been true, that if he only gives me money back for me giving that tithe, I will feel ripped off. I want much more from God than more money back. I want my kids to be healthy. I want my 20-year-old vehicle to keep running. I mean, come on. Seriously. I want our family to be healthy. God, I want that blessing. So let me just mention three ways. First of all, I believe motive of giving is so important. Motive more than even amount. And what's the motive? Give in love. Give in love. If you don't love God, what he's doing, hold on to it till God changes your heart. 1 Corinthians 13:3, mark it down. Remember when Scripture says, even if I give all my goods to feed the poor and have my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me what? Zip. So let your motive in giving, whatever you do, in love. The element is also when. Second point, when. As soon as you have something fresh and new in your hand. We often would put on our tithe envelopes, Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase. That's the verse. You just write that down and consider that. Proverbs 3:9, honor God with the first fruits of all your increase. He'll add to it. He'll add to it. Verse 10 says, so that your vats will be filled with new wine to overflowing. I've seen it. I want that for every Christian. This church is certainly experiencing that, but we want everyone who's never known what tithing's all about, if you could just step in there and do that. Jesus was the one in Acts where he says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he said that, more blessed to give. Why? It means because you're opening up the door of an extremely great setting. You will be more blessed to give than the few things that you're receiving. Lord, thank you. And then the third is, where do you give? Well, I've got to tell you, I'm a churchman from way back. I believe in the local church. That's where God said, hey, guess what? I'm going to build my church. He names it, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So he not only birthed it, he named it, he'll protect it. Put it where you're getting fed. Put it where you're getting fed. May there's going to be something when you give to a need. It's going to be important. Letter C, as we take a look at these latter points here. Again, practicing going like Jesus. Are you willing to make a difference with sacrifice? He came to rescue his creation. Aren't you glad? Just think about that. How many times has God rescued us? Saved my bacon, literally. And I know it was him. I know it was him. It helps me when I'm facing the next dilemma. It's like, Lord, I know you'll do it again. I trust you. It's so important. Sacrifice produces life. Write that down. Somebody needs to tweet that. Selfishness takes life. It takes life. You want to be an ogre and consume it? Be a Christian that consumes on Christmas? Like, kind of nice, but if you do all your life, it takes life. Sacrifice produces life. It's what Jesus is all about. It's going to take some sacrifice. Spend in your marriage to have life. It's going to take sacrifice in any relationship you have to take and bring life. It's going to take sacrifice to meet the needs of others, and we are working hard at it at Hope Chapel. Sacrifice produces life. It's so significant. Giving of our time, our money, our resources, certainly our emotions. Where are those needs? Lord, thank you. Boy, it makes a great life. It really makes a great, that will be, you'll see, when you do nothing later on, in that rocking chair in the twilight of your life, saying, that was some of the best days of my life. Some of you may be doing it right now, haven't done anything lately, and you're just saying, man, if I look back, that's some of the sweetest seasons of my life. Letter D, are willing to go and humble yourself to meet a need. That's what Jesus did. The distance that Jesus humbled himself to become human is impossible for us to comprehend. I know I could sit here whole time and say, man, let's just consider not only becoming human, but the humility of the way he died. Wow, it's just incredible to meet a need. Going requires humility, no doubt about it. If you take a familiar area that you feel comfortable with and get into an unfamiliar, you say, ooh, this is really messy working with children. This is really messy stepping into the houseless community and helping them with a brown bag of hope. This is really messy. Man, I'm telling you, there's something that's helpful there. I like the Apostle Paul. Check out his mindset here, 1 Corinthians 9:19. Let me throw it up on the screen. He said this, even though I'm a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. Wow. What is it going to take? Humble ourselves to meet a need. Check out a little bit further in verse 22. He goes on and says, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. It does take humility to meet needs. It really does. Nobody wants a little nose turned up saying, well, you just struggle. I struggled, and look where I'm at. You come on up, pull it up too. We really need one another to say, let's do what we can to reach those that are really struggling. So as we look now, let's take a look at letter E, and let's begin. Finally, are you willing to go and be close enough to the needs of others? Jesus made his home among us. Isn't that great? What a great Christmas we're all going to have. He came, and he didn't just say, I'm done. He says, I will be with you always. He's here now in the room. You say, hey, that's just Paul talking. Or is it Jesus maybe using his servant to talk to you and me? Jesus is here and he's talking close enough to see, understand us, and he really wants to meet not only our needs, he wants to help us to meet the needs of others. So let's be Jesus to someone this year, shall we? I think it's going to be important. I think we're going to have a great series. I think it's going to be an outstanding Christmas, and somebody is going to know what Jesus is all about this Christmas because you have decided to practice Christmas like Jesus. I'm going to take this moment right now, and as we just invite Sean, our Go director, to come, we wanted to add to this message what you, Hope Chapel, have been doing, and how as we wrap up this year of giving to so many on the mission field, Sean, I want to thank you. What an outstanding presenter you are. Come on up here, and would you welcome Sean as he comes to share? I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.